ready to get your mind blown? Listen in as I interview new guests each week to share their knowledge and experiences on subjects we all wish people spoke more about. Covering all things health and wellness, you'll be sure to experience the best mindgasm you've ever had. Today, I am joined by Joey Thurman. Joey is a celebrity PT, author, and American TV host. He is best known for his health, fitness, and nutrition expertise, and you may well have watched his TED Talk. On this episode, Joey talks about how he got to where he is today and covers helpful methods you can use to develop better habits and ways to improve your physical and mental health. He talks openly about his own personal struggles with mental health and exposes the truths of social media. Hello, Joey, and welcome to Mindgasm Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm great, and I love the name of your show, by the way.
I definitely have a soft spot for it. It can be interpreted however you choose.
It can. It makes me smile anytime I hear it or say it. Mindgasm. It's
good. I love that. I'm glad. At least it's doing what it should do.
There you go.
So I wanted to bring you on the show today to get a little bit more of an understanding about yourself, hear about your background and your knowledge and experience with nutrition and mental health, which is something that you are clearly very passionate about and also very knowledgeable on, which is amazing. Let's strip it right back. How did you get into nutrition, mental health? Well, not even mental health. How did you get into fitness? Because that's probably the crux of it.
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up playing sports all through my entire life. Soccer and hockey were my main ones. Hockey through college. And really, I just knew that I wanted to do something with that. So I went to college to play hockey. I was on the five-year plan. Let's just say I took my time. I don't remember much in college, quite honestly speaking. And there was just a study that came out, actually. Drinking and blacking out actually makes your hippocampus smaller. So when you black out, you drink so much, you're actually your hippocampus, you can't remember anything anymore.
No.
So just there's a little, look at that. We're starting off with knowledge right away.
I love that.
So let's just say that I enjoyed myself in college. I maintained good enough grades to stay on the team, and I was captain of the team and all sorts of stuff. And I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I just knew that it wanted to be in fitness. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to go to play minor league hockey and get my ass kicked for not that much money and maybe make it to the NHL. I just knew, like, I was aware that I was good, but probably not good enough to make millions per year. So I switched my major several times in college. I ended up being pre-law, didn't want to go to law school, and I sort of stumbled in. Yeah, I sort of stumbled into fitness, because back then, getting a degree in kinesiology kind of meant that you were going to be a gym teacher, and that and personal training wasn't there. So I graduated college in 2006. There was very few schools that had exercise science or physiology that led to sports performance or anything like that. So graduated college, and I went and interviewed for a job in Chicago. And so I got my yellow Mustang convertible. Yes, it was yellow. I'm sorry.
Yellow. Oh my God.
It was yellow. I drove.
No shame. Like, I am going to be seen by everybody I go past.
I was definitely noticed. And I was 240 pounds, big meathead. Right now I'm like 210. My eyebrows were too plucked. It was 2006. You know, that was
it. It worked. It was trendy. Yeah. We'll say it's trendy.
Yes. Don't Google pictures. So I did that, interviewed with a few gyms, landed a job at Crunch Fitness, packed all my stuff up and moved to Chicago and kind of started doing that. And I didn't really know what personal training was. I mean, I got certified as a trainer my senior year, but they didn't really teach you how to be a trainer, how to handle a client, anything about nutrition. And honestly, I didn't really start looking into nutrition because I was always just lucky enough that I was working out enough that I still had abs or whatever. And I thought abs was a precursor for just being in shape, which,
like, that's it. I'm done. Tick. I've got abs. Right? Like, what else do I need to do?
I had abs, a tan, and plucked eyebrows. So,
and the yellow Mustang.
Yellow Mustang and frosted tips in my hair. So that was something else.
Nailing it.
Winning. So that was kind of my journey there. And then I started looking more into nutrition, eating better, eating things that were green and vegetables, then signed up for a fitness figure bodybuilding competition, if you will. And I really got in tune with my body. I worked with my business partner at the time, who was former Mr. Natural Australia 2002. So he really knew what he was doing. He's like, mate, you need to have greens if you're gonna do this. I'm like, ah, vegetables.
Ah, those things. I always look at them in the supermarket and walk past. Now I have to do something with it.
Yeah, it's like that's for rabbits, right? So, yeah, I started eating vegetables and realizing what was happening with my body. And I did 3 competitions in a year and a half, and I'm 6'3", so most of the people I was competing with were much smaller. And I really just learned what happened to my body when I started eating well. And then I looked into it more. Then I got certified as a fitness nutrition specialist. So most personal trainers, I don't know how it is in other countries, but most personal trainers legally can't prescribe diets for people.
Right.
So like, I would probably trust a personal trainer what to eat over a medical doctor because they probably have more knowledge on that because doctors just aren't trained in that. But for me, I was like, okay, I need to get certified as a fitness nutrition specialist so I can legally tell people what to eat.
Right.
So that's what I did. And I've got a bunch of other certifications and initials behind my name and started training people and started training celebrities and going on TV and...
But
there's
like,
a lot there.
I mean, you're like fast forwarding that a lot. So obviously to go from being qualified, you've obviously just got the basics. Okay. You've started to learn and you've got the understanding. You've got the certificates to be like, yes, I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But then putting that all into practice, surely what do you learn on the textbook is different to what you do in real life.
So, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it for me was I didn't realize I liked learning until after college. Which was a really unique thing to say. And so I started studying on nutrition and, you know, exercise programming and then on myself. So I've tried every single diet known to man, not because I feel like I need to be on a diet. And just because you're on a diet doesn't mean you're losing weight. People can be on a diet and gain weight and do all sorts of things. Diet is just predicated on what you normally eat in a day. So we're all on a diet. It's just sometimes it's like we need to be put in this box of paleo, keto, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So I started putting myself on these specific box diets, if you will. So I not only knew how it would feel for me, but also how maybe it would feel for my clients and what I liked about it. So I literally just did all sorts of different diets. I mean, I would even go in a sauna for an hour and a half to see how much weight I could lose just to see what it felt like.
I love how you're trying to justify going in the sauna was like a test study for work. Like, I am doing this for work purposes. This is not for any reason for my own satisfaction. Yeah.
You know, try it for an hour and a half. You'll feel like a wet noodle and a raisin. I lost 8 pounds. It was horrible.
Oh my God.
It was crazy. Yeah. So I started trying all of this stuff on myself and then people started noticing like, what are you doing? And then I started implementing that with my clients and I'm not one to prescribe only vegan or only gluten-free or only high carb or whatever it is to each of my clients. I assess them and see what makes sense for their lifestyle and what good I can add and what bad I can take away for them.
But so then that's what I started doing would myself. You give them like one of those typical fad diets, whether it's like the keto diet or something, and you'd be like, okay, actually, I think this would work for you. Or do you do it more like, okay, you need to have your greens, you need to have your protein of, like we count the calories. I count the macros a little bit more.
Sure. So again, you're going to hear me say this a lot. It's contextually based. So if you're an individual and you like being in a box, right? And you like, if like Joey, I want a diet. I want to know exactly what to eat every single day. And I won't waver from that. Then I'll give you something exactly what you're supposed to eat a day and specific parameters. Because people know what type of person they are. If like, oh, I'm going to eat the same meal 4 or 5 times a day or once a day, whatever it is, for the next 6 weeks, I can do that. Great. Takes the guesswork out of it. If you're somebody that gets bored or they'll easily kind of fall off the wagon, then I'll give them something that's a little bit more, I could say like plant-based esque or whether it's carnivore or whatever, depending on what their goals are. And I need to realize that I'm giving people short-term goals to achieve a specific result. If I'm working with a movie star and they're filming in 4 weeks or 2 months, I wouldn't prescribe that for most individuals. They need to look a certain way for a certain part at a certain time, or if you're going on a vacation. But then after that, like, okay, then we're getting back on making sure that you're eating properly, because these are the things I like people having goals and things to strive for and look forward to. So you get to a certain point, but we don't stop at that point.
Yeah.
So I don't like, oh, we're doing the 30 day or the whole 30 or whatever, all that bullshit. No, like we're not doing that. Like if you want to get to a point, you want to look good for a photo shoot, that's one thing. But this is a race that you don't ever want to reach the finish line. You always want to be in that race.
Yeah, because right? If some you're not in that race, then you've fallen off the bandwagon and you're probably sat there eating your crisps.
Exactly. You know, that's kind of one of those things where it's just, it is dependent. And anybody listening to this should realize that. Like, just because Gemma or Joey or whoever is eating something some way doesn't mean it's right for you. Mm-hmm. You know, you sure go ahead and try it and see how you feel. But if you feel great right now in whatever you're doing, you feel great, you look great, you're kicking ass at life, why would you change that? Right? Yeah. Like, you can go get some blood work checked and maybe there's some markers and things or some inflammatory markers that you can work on. We can all work on things. But if you feel good, you're sleeping good, your workouts are great, and some new diet or fad workout comes out, but why would you change? Okay? Like, yes, we need to change things eventually, but you're feeling amazing. This is like, we all want this, like, this grass is greener, this, you know, this short-term mentality, like we've got to go to the next best thing. And I just want people to realize, if you feel great, stick with whatever the hell you're doing.
Yeah. What works for you? Just, if it's working, then why, if it's not, what's that saying? If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You got it. Yeah. If it ain't, well, in the States, they say, if it ain't broke.
If it ain't broke. It. Yeah.
Yeah. Our English is, you know, much less eloquent.
Where do you feel that people go wrong then? Do you think it is because everyone just does so much of their own research that they read one thing and they try and copy that, and then they read another thing and they try and copy that, and then they end up confusing themselves? Like, would you say that's the crux on fitness in general, where they go wrong?
So, I mean, I think there's a big part in that. There is so much information out now. And if you're in the States, conspiracy theories, I mean, I'm not sure if you're aware of the election. Yeah, right? Anyway, so I'm not going down that rabbit hole.
That's just opening a new kind of book. That's another podcast.
We're not going there. But there's so much information out there.
Yeah.
And there's so many experts. One, just because someone has 100,000 or 1 million followers online, let me say this, that doesn't mean they're an expert, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, social media numbers is not directly correlated with knowing something. Or having great abs or an ass or whatever it is, okay? That doesn't mean they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Secondly, so much information, you need to look like, is there a bibliography behind this information? Meaning, can people quote where they're getting the information from? And where is that information? Did they get it from Facebook, or they get it, oh, random person on Instagram who started eating this way, got abs? Like, okay, no. Where is that information from? So do your research and look at it. And yes, there are studies that you can look at, whether they're anecdotal studies or whether they're self-reported or all sorts of different things, that yes, you can poke holes in anything. And people will do that. They will find whatever fits their agenda. And then they will go with that. Whether it's like, mm-hmm. I want to eat only meat. Well, look at what all the carnivore people are doing. You're going to find research for that. Or if you say, hey, I want to live longer, then you're going to be plant-based, because look what all the research does. And they go back and forth.
Yes.
I think that's really just so much information. And yes, just looking at everything and just trying to figure out that people, they really want to belong. And that's the main thing, is they're just trying to follow the herd. And I think that's one of the worst things you can do.
Where do you begin? So if you're new into this, I feel like a lot of people, particularly during the COVID pandemic, have found fitness and it's been great for their mental health, and actually they're seeing changes with their body. But if you're still in that early stage and you're confronted with all this different information, what would you say is the primary thing that you should be looking at with, like, your nutrition or with your fitness? Is it just make sure you're enjoying it? Or is there some key bits which you'd call out?
So enjoyment sure is great, but sometimes working out is going to suck. So be aware. Yeah, sometimes, right? Be aware that you're not going to love working out all the time, because sometimes you need to be uncomfortable to create change in your body. When's the last time you, like, read a book or tried to learn something? You're like, oh, you know, I really enjoyed, like, not getting that math problem. Like, no, I mean, that's part of the process. Like, we have these struggles. So sometimes it's going to suck. Be aware you're going to fail. You are going to fail. So whether that's trying a new fitness routine or learning how to do a squat or eating well or cooking well, you're going to fail. It's going to happen, and be okay with that. But, you know, I think that people, they really just need to do a life assessment first before you just jump into, like, if day one is tomorrow, like, just do a life assessment first. Take several days and write down, okay, I went to bed at 10 p.m. I woke up at 6 a.m. I felt amazing. I felt like crap. I felt groggy. I had a glass of water. I had coffee with donuts and whatever. Write all that down. And then throughout the day, write down how you're feeling correlated with that. And then you can start looking at it and find a pattern. okay, I'm sleepy every single night. Well, why does that happen? Oh, I went to bed at 10 o'clock one night. I went to bed at 1 a.m. the next night. Okay, so maybe my circadian rhythm's a little off. And start assessing that. Start going to bed at a more decent time. Okay, maybe I should not have those donuts in the morning. And start changing those things. So you take out as much bad as you can. But honestly, I try to add more good than people are worrying about taking out the bad. Because when you start adding good things and good habits into your life, naturally these bad things sort of go away. Mm-hmm. And our mentality as humans, when you take something away from us, it drives us crazy. Like, what do you mean I can't have that?
Yeah, like, what? Right? I can't have that chocolate bar that I want every day.
So that's exactly what we think, yeah. Even though maybe you never had it before. If you just started having that chocolate bar for 3 days in a row, like, wait a minute, I want my fourth day of chocolate bar. But if you start adding a green smoothie or a salad or doing something else, or just adding that with your, maybe it's a chocolate bar and a salad. Okay. Like, I don't
balance, maybe guys. That's, balance.
Right, right. Balance, right? So maybe you started doing that and maybe like, hey, I actually like the salad with some fruit or berries and some protein or whatever it is in it. I don't need that chocolate bar. Okay. Yeah. So then you're not taking it away, you realize that you don't need it. I really think that's where people kind of get things wrong, is they're just trying to do everything right away. And it's so much. You're trying to get to bed at the right time. You're trying to eat the right things. You're trying to get rid of that. You're trying a new exercise program. You're in a new relationship. Your relationship's failing. You've got kids. You're trying to be a teacher and a student all at the same time. Like, just so much. It's too much.
It's a really interesting way of saying is, in looking at it, because you're saying to like add more and not focus on the removing of the bad, and then naturally you start to compare and you see the difference, which I think a lot of people see as you have to do the opposite and you have to cut back straight away. And like you say, that's when you get that urge to go for it. But that's a really interesting approach, which I think a lot of people would be able to start with now. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to change anything, but actually maybe get to eat a little bit more food. You get to add a little bit more things into your day. But what if you haven't got the time, or you feel like you haven't got the time?
Yeah. So one, you have the time. Everybody has time. So here's the thing. Like we have a 2.5-year-old son, and when it was, I mean, now we're crashing with my in-laws. I used to say mooching off of them, but mooching. I did one of my own podcasts, and my friend goes, Joey, you're not mooching. You're fortunate to be able to be in this situation. So right there, just changing that
mindset. Absolutely.
I'm like, yes, I am fortunate to be here. Yeah, it is fortunate, right? So you have time. I think people look at things as, I need to get an hour of a workout in a day. Why does it need to be an hour in a row? If you want to work out for an hour, why can't you get up 10 minutes earlier, take a 10-minute walk? During your lunch break, can you do another 20-minute walk? At night when the kids go to bed, can you work out for 30 or 40 minutes? Can you do that? So then, wow, you got an hour in the day. And actually, there's a lot of research that points in those short bursts of energy throughout the day are better for your metabolic rate, your insulin sensitivity, your circadian rhythm, all sorts of different things than just an hour in a row. So you have time. Mm-hmm. People don't ever look at it that way. And here's the thing, whether you eat 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day, we can get into that as well. I want you to take a walk after your meal, a 10-minute brisk walk, whether that's inside in your quarantine house, pacing back and forth down the hallway, mm-hmm. whether it's walking up and down the steps, whether it's outside, take a 10-minute brisk walk. Even doing that 2 or 3 times a day has been shown to help with weight loss, help with recovery, help with that insulin sensitivity, the regulation. Your body utilizes those nutrients that you had, that you took in from the meal, and you will utilize those much better, even if it was your crisps and your chocolate bar, right? Like, it's, look at that. I brought crisps into it. So
already getting to know the terminology.
Yeah. I'm smarter than I look. I said, and just those movements and those little bursts of energy really can do a lot. Now, all of a sudden you're at 30 minutes of walking a day. You did it 3 times a day because you ate a little bit faster, or you took that time. Now, can we do 5 or 6 minutes of working out before our meal? That's actually been shown to help increase the nutrient absorption too. So whether it's squatting for 5 minutes or doing squats, push-ups back and forth. If you add that in 2 or 3 times a day, wow, all of a sudden I did my 30 minutes of walking. I did 5 or 6 minutes of squats and push-ups today. That's 15 minutes. Wow, all of a sudden I did 45 minutes of working out.
You've done your 1 hour workout, and you're ticking off, and you've got that feel of, yes, I'm working out and I have time. Yeah. when I feel like
don't
I haven't
tell
got
me you don't have time. Absolutely. Like you, everybody has time. I understand some people don't have that hour cumulative, but you know, some work interspersed intelligently throughout your day will make a lot of sense and do a lot. So right there, you're adding. So you just added that in. Okay, so there we go back to that theme here. So really people just need to just really change that mindset. And here's the thing, like I know that you'll see things on social media. Oh, when I have a bad day, I just think about something happy and I just wake up with a smile. Bullshit. Like, no, that's not how life works. You can't just like, I'm going to have a good day now. What you can do is think about the good things in your day that happened in your day. Maybe you had a bad day and you were up for, let's say, 16 hours. Maybe 1 hour of it was good. Maybe there was something good that happened at work or with your kids or with your life. Focus on that. Like, wow, yes, today was rough, but I did have an hour. I did have that moment with my wife or son or partner or whatever. Focus on the good things.
That is a great tip. And that's something that I think a lot of people do forget. Like they suddenly wake up and they're like, I don't feel good. Everything's bad. Okay. Today is going to be another bad day. But it's recognizing what is within that day that you can take something from. But I mean, is that something that you've always done yourself or have you learned that over time? Because obviously you're really big on the mental health and a huge advocate for that, which is amazing. But how have you come to where you are now? Because there's a huge stigma, which unfortunately is still around about guys speaking out about their mental health. And for yourself, like you are so open about it, which is hugely honorable. But how have you got to be in that position where you feel comfortable?
Yeah, well, let me say this. I don't have it all figured out. It's okay to not have it figured out. And the first time I was diagnosed with depression, I was 14, I believe, 14, 15-ish. And I was on medication and all sorts of stuff. So my parents had some issues. They've ended up divorcing each other twice. So they were divorced and then they got married again. They got divorced. So there was some other stuff and we were moving around and new school. There's a lot of things that were involved in that. So I had a lot of suicidal thoughts. And you know, the depression, it doesn't really go away, right? It's if you're an alcoholic, if you're addicted to drugs, you don't ever say like I'm cured, right? It's always kind of lingering there. We all have our things. So it's taken me a long time to get to this point. And I used to get angry and throw things and hit things and, you know, get in fights and all sorts of stuff or take it out on the ice when I was, you know, playing hockey or going to the gym or do different stuff. And I've found that being a father has softened me and it really forced me to kind of be more introspective and be more aware of how I'm feeling. So I've done counseling, I've done therapy, all sorts of different stuff. I've got friends that are therapists. I'll talk to them. I'm like, hey, I need you to talk to me as a therapist right now and not as a friend, which is a big difference. So I've learned that, but I also learned that if I wake up and I kind of have a bad day and I don't feel well, because sometimes you just wake up and you can have everything going on in life. I mean, like whether it's during COVID, out of COVID, like pre-post, like you can wake up and just not feel good. Like, what is going on with me today? I've got all this stuff to look forward to. Why don't I feel good? Well, one, acknowledge that. Own that feeling. And then tell everybody else in your life how you're feeling. Because if I wake up and I'm like, hey, like, honey, my wife's name is Maria. I'm like, Maria, I don't know what's going on. I don't feel well today. So she knows that like if I'm kind of distant or if there's something going on or maybe I'm a little more irritable, then she knows that it's not her that she didn't do something. Or that there was something that I'm harboring those feelings. So being honest with yourself is huge, but you also need to be honest with the people that are around you. And, you know, there are days when I forget to do that. That's been one of the biggest things that have helped me. And then to your point, being honest on social media, I have a decent amount of people that turn to my page or for me for advice. And once I started acknowledging that, there's so many people that came out like, I feel that way or whatever, especially in fitness. And, you know, I used to be a model, as we talked about in the pre-interview, like there's all these stigmas with how you look or how you're supposed to be or how you're supposed to act. And there's a lot of pressure that people put on you, but we also, let's be honest, we put it on ourselves. Yeah. So being open and honest about that. I mean, there's some things that you won't really ever see on my social media. Like we don't really share my child. If you see a picture, it's the back of his head, right? And there's some things that just stay private to us. But me being open about that, and I did a whole TED talk about depression and social media, and it really just has helped not only a bunch of people, but it has helped me talk about it and be more real. And that scared me to do that. But being a man, and I do play one on TV too. it's hard to talk about, but that's, you know, one thing that I think my parents have done well with. I mean, I have two older sisters that I was always seeing kind of what was going on with them or going on with my mom, and whether my parents were together or not at the time. Like they were always told like to kind of talk about things, but you know, being a man, I did hold that in because I just felt these pressures that I couldn't talk about it. So I didn't really start opening up until, I don't know, maybe a few years ago. And people were like, I had no idea that you went through that. I'm like, well, one, I don't walk around with a sign and be like, hey, I have depression. Right. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I messed up, you know, I was on like a suicidal watch when I was a kid. Like, no, you don't, because people don't say that. Like, you know, walk around with a sign that says I'm an alcoholic or I'm whatever. You don't say that. So just the honesty within yourself has to happen first.
But then you say about how one of the good things is to tell people around you, so then they can be more aware of how you're feeling. And obviously, what if the people around you are maybe not so supportive? I mean, you're obviously very lucky that you've got a wife who is, but if your circle is perhaps maybe like, oh, you'll be fine, or cheer up, like you've got nothing to worry about, which are things that probably people do have said to them, and the least helpful things in the world.
Yeah, they are, honestly. I mean, when was the last time you were in a bad mood? Someone was like, feel better.
Yeah, like, cheer up.
Thanks. Right.
It's like, okay, I feel great now. Thank you. Yeah. It's all I needed to hear.
Yeah, I think somehow helping them understand, you know, so whether it, you know, people always have their shit, right? They always have something that is going on with them. So being able to relate to them, like, hey, okay, look, I understand that you think that like my life is great and everything should be okay, but I don't feel well right now. And what I need from you is the support. And I understand where you're coming from as a friend, as a mom, as a dad, or whoever you're talking to, right? You're trying to make me feel better. But sometimes what I need for you is either to not say anything or just be supportive and be like, okay, I acknowledge that you're feeling bad today, and you need to be open with them. And if they're not going to change right away, and they're going to go back into their habits the next time you talk to them, but eventually, hopefully, if they love you and they support you, then hopefully they'll be there. And sometimes you may just need to cut those people out of your lives for a little bit or forever. Honestly, the one thing that maybe you could take from being like having to be quarantined or something, like, I can't see you right now, I'm on quarantine. Like, maybe you take this as an opportunity just to kind of push them away a little bit, or maybe write them a letter or a note. And if they really, truly love you, they don't have to completely understand, but they have to understand that you are asking of them. And that's a big difference. You don't need them to understand how you feel, because you're not going to, like, unless you're like a complete empath or something, like you're not going to know that. But just them being aware of what you need from them in response from them. Maybe it's your, you know, husband or, you know, mom. You're like, hey, just don't say anything. I just want to talk to you. I want you to be a sounding board. You don't need to fix me.
Yeah. It's like just making them on the same page to know where your mind's at, but that's all they need to do. It's like, this is just like an FYI for you. Yeah. Nothing else needs to happen. Yeah. But
I have the easiest job for you. Don't do anything. Just listen.
Yeah, like, that is all. Like, you can't go wrong.
Right.
You speak very openly about your relationship with social media. I know it's something you definitely touched on in your TED talk. Yeah. And getting that balance right, because for yourself particularly, obviously you have got a big presence on social media, but not getting sucked into it and having yourself where you're constantly checking your phone, constantly doing all of the filters, the Instagrams, whatever.
Right.
How are you managing to balance that? Because obviously you've got a presence on there, so you have to keep up your brand. Mm-hmm. But even people who are just using it for themselves are using every day to view, say, your page or somebody else's page. And it does become this addictive habit.
It's extremely addictive. It is. And I have a massive love-hate relationship with it, because it is turned into, I mean, let's be honest, I get paid for posting things. I get paid for using exercise equipment. And I've connected with a lot of people through social media that I would not have been able to connect with otherwise. So when it's part of your job, I feel like it's even worse because you're like, okay, I've got to do this. I've got to make a post. I even did a poll one time. Hey, if I didn't post for 2 weeks, what would you guys think? It's like 90 something percent of people answer like, I would think that there was something wrong. Can you imagine? Like there's something wrong. You have
2 weeks off and there's like something's wrong.
Right. Like that is asinine to think about. Like, oh, something probably is right if that's the case, because I took a 2 week hiatus. So there is that really tough thing to try to wrap your head around. And for individuals that are trying to get on and check what's happening with their friends, or you always have that FOMO, right? Like this is a highlight reel. That's all it is. And people are generally, like some people, yes, they air everything on there, which is, I mean, good for them. but, no, you know, no comment. So it's a highlight reel. And you want to see, you're showing the best of you in that moment, with the perfect lighting, setting, filter, and you're taking the time. And when I first started with, you know, doing Instagram and Twitter and all that sort of stuff, I mean, I was training these celebrities. I kept thinking, well, if they just posted me, if they just tagged me, if they just did this, then I would get all this sort of stuff. And I was already on national TV and I was the author. And you know, like, I was like,
you already achieved all of that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But now then I started hearing from producers, how many followers do you have? Mm. So what are you, I just wrote a book and I've trained these celebrities.
You can buy it on Amazon.
Like, what the hell? Like you flew me out for 7 weeks in a row to New York to like, what do you mean? Now you're asking how many followers I have. It doesn't matter everything. And they're basically saying no, because they just want the numbers and they want the numbers. So for me, that was really hard to deal with. And then others just going online and they're checking their feeds and clicking and just we're trying to directly correlate like these likes and these comments with how we feel, and suicide rates have gone up. I think there was a documentary that came out that like two suicide rates are up like threefold since social media was available on phones. And all the way down to like young girls, like, you know, and boys do commit suicide too. I'm not saying they don't, but like the numbers that was like astonishing to see. So we're just seeing all of these things, and people, I think they're getting more aware of like all of the bullshit and what they're all these curated posts, but it's really, really difficult to see somebody and, you know, some beautiful island or somewhere else, or their happy picture with their family. They were probably with their family for 5 hours. They might've had 10 seconds of happiness during that photo and they posted it. Like, you don't know what happened there. And then people easily scrutinize, right? It's easy to hide behind a screen and hide behind a keyboard and type that. So that's why I started being much more honest about everything. You know,
have you then reduced the amount of time that you are on? Like, have you put any time limits on yourself to be like, okay, I'm only going to do X amount of time each day?
Yes, honestly, I have. So I used to try to post 3 times a day, which, oh my God.
3 times a day, that is a lot.
Because
how do you have that much to say?
Right, well, I don't know. I don't really have that much to say. But luckily I had a bunch of TV appearances, like, let me pull this clip, let me do this. But I was spending hours and hours and hours, and this was pre me getting paid to make posts on things. So now I will just think about it. Like, oh, if I have an idea to make a post, I'll write it down in my notes. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll post 4 or 5 times a day. There's all these sort of different things. And like, I've hired somebody to answer some messages and stuff for me every now and then. Like, cause like people, like I've got a primary message and a general and all these requests. I'll have like 100 requests a day. I hire somebody to go through and comb through those. A lot of them are crap. Like, you know, like whatever, write me up a program. I don't have any money. Give me a job. Send me money. By the way,
send you money.
Oh my God. I get that almost daily.
No.
Like, hey man, yeah. Like yes, send me money. And my response back is, I don't have any money. Can you send me money? And often it's, oh, help me out. I'm like, just because I have a blue check mark and I have 100, whatever, 1,000, I don't even know, whatever, doesn't matter. People that follow me does not correlate to me making a bunch of money. I live, I'm in my garage, my in-law's garage right now, for God's sakes. You think I'm making a ton of money? So that's the one thing. I outsourced it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did try to tell myself, and once again, I was honest with my wife, like, hey, when I make a post, like, there's all these things that people don't know about, engagement groups and all this sort of crap and things that you can post about. So I'm in an engagement group with like 40 fitness influencers where as you get likes and people to comment on it, it increases the algorithm. This is drives me
then
crazy.
Instagram likes you, right, mom, and right, then you right. push your post. Yeah,
so,
like,
so oh. Let's pull the curtain back here. So, but then I've got to engage on all those posts with 4 or 5 comments and no emojis before I make a post. So it's a half an hour and going through, hey, great workout, whatever, like of doing that. And yep. then afterwards I make a post. I've got to sit for another half an hour or so and engage on all the comments on that.
To then so, agree with the algorithm, because if you
exactly.
don't get away, then you're probably right. going to get pushed. What?
It drives me crazy. Oh. But now I know, like, okay, I'm going to spend maybe an hour, maybe to 2 hours a day on that, because yes, it is part of my job now. And if I'm working out, and follow me at Joey Thurman Fit, if I'm shameless plug there. So if I'm working out now, like I've got tripods and stands all over the little gym I built in here, and I'll put it on my story, and I'm not curating it or anything like that. So maybe if my workout is 45 minutes, maybe I took an extra 5 or 10 minutes just to show some exercises. So mm-hmm. I'll do that. But the posts that go on my feed, I take a lot longer time to put something that makes sense, that will hit home to people. Like I put a post up of me when I was like 14 years old and I was skinny. Like, this is not a before and after. This is how I see myself in the mirror. And that really struck a chord with a lot of people, especially guys. Like, yeah, I always see myself as the skinny kid or the fat kid or whatever, right? We're always just kind of stuck in that reality of how we were when we were a child or when we were most made fun of.
Would you say that's something that you still have issues with seeing yourself now, or have you come to a place to...
No. I always do. I always see myself as that skinny, scrawny kid or never enough for people. Like, I'd kill to have your body. And like, I'm sure you get told this all the time from people, and like, yeah, but you know, we all have our things, mm-hmm. right? I always like just feel like I'm just that scrawny kid. Even when I was 240 pounds in college, like I looked at myself, like, I need to be bigger. I need to have this. I need to whatever. But honestly, being that big on skates is not good. I got too slow, but I looked great, you know, in a bathing suit. So, cause the tan and eyebrows,
and but, the car.
Yeah, the car. Yeah. Right. So yeah, I definitely do struggle with that. I struggle with body dysmorphia. And I think we, you know, majority of us have those things about our bodies that, you know, drive us crazy. Like I always like, my chest doesn't grow as big, and I always look at them like I need more chest or whatever. But yeah,
is that something that you have? How do you deal with that though? Because if that's something like body dysmorphia is a clinical diagnosis, which actually mm-hmm. it isn't something that's just going to go away on its own, and it's like, yeah, okay, right. like grow some confidence, like sure, you'll be fine. It's like, no, it isn't, right. it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it doesn't go away. No, it gets better sometimes, and just like any sort of like depression or anything else. But I've just become much more aware and more comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. I even sometimes I'll take a picture, you know, with a tank top or a shirt off or something, like, oh my God, like what is happening there? And like, I don't like sitting down. Here's something about it. I don't like sitting down with my shirt off because I feel like I've got rolls on my stomach.
Really? That's what you feel like?
Right, right. But because it's your skin. And what happens when you sit down, it's your skin.
Of course.
But like, I know, like, okay, I don't actually have fat rolls here. But I'm more aware of that and what's kind of going on in my head. And I don't think it's ever going to go away, but it's definitely gotten a lot better. And now I've focused myself more on, okay, I want to live longer. I want to move better. I want to be able to chase my son around now and in 10, 15, 20 years. So now me eating well and working out with an intent of that mobility and that life longevity mm-hmm. has actually helped my body look better. And I changed the mindset of needing to focus on these little things. Mm-hmm. So that has helped me a lot. Just kind of seeing the future and people like, wow, your body has changed tremendously. I'm like, yeah, I put myself on a different program and I'm eating differently, but I feel good. And
yeah,
it goes back to what I said in the beginning, and I do feel much better about myself.
I suppose if you find that sweet spot of looking like in a place that you obviously are happy with yourself, but more about where you are mentally, you naturally will feel better as a whole. Like if you're trying to achieve a physique that isn't really you and you're forcing yourself to do all these stupid diets or all these silly things to be somebody else, then you're never going to be happy even when you reach that goal.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's this, we set these goals, but once you reach it, it gets pushed out even more and gets pushed out even more. So there needs to be a point where you are happy with what you have and it's okay with wanting more. And that's how we strive and that's how we grow. But you also have to be okay with what's happening right now and realizing that maybe you won't ever get to that point of that, whatever your perfect body is. You probably won't. Maybe you should set a goal where it's not aesthetic. Maybe you want to go run an obstacle course race or a Spartan race and train for that. And your body will start adapting and looking better because of it. But you also become more agile and have more balance and have more mental fortitude. Maybe you need to do that if you've been focusing for the past 10 or 20 years on how you're specifically looking and what your workout is trying to achieve. Sign up for something completely different and see what happens to your mental state and then in turn your aesthetic state.
Is that something that you have ever been tempted to try? Like obviously your fitness regime and the routine is very gym sort of orientated. Uh-huh. Have you ever fancied trying something a little bit different, which is, I don't know, like karate or some like physical wrestling sport or something?
I don't need a sweaty guy on top of me, so that's fine. So I did a Spartan race last True. So some people might think that I prefer that, but definitely not.
just clarify.
So I did a Spartan race about a year ago in California, and that was just like one of the best experiences I've ever had athletically, because I didn't realize how much I missed competition. And yeah, doing those like fitness competitions, the physique stuff, I'm going up there, I'm flexing my abs, like that's great. And that was fun. And it was a good experience in my life, but I don't know if I'll ever do that again. But preparing for this event and trying to like working on my grip strength and running and how I carry things and going in the mud and all sorts of stuff. It was really interesting to see that there was, I don't know, 100 plus people in my heat. And you could look around and be like, okay, there's a big muscular guy. And I'm like, what's going to happen with this guy? And he puttered out after the first mile because like he went too hard at it. Then you see these guys that are like really kind of scrawny that are more runner type bodies. And I think they got top 10.
Like ninjas.
They're moving around. And, I did well, I was like top 25% or something, but
it wasn't bad.
I mean, I'm much taller than any of them too. So there's some things that I was better at, but I think it was more conducive.
Not to just make excuses, but whatever.
True. But yeah, that really helped put my mind in like, wow, I loved doing this. So then I was going to sign up for much more and then COVID happened.
You will re-sign up for it next year.
Oh yeah. I will absolutely do more of them when it's safe to do. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's just one of the things where then I focused on that goal and it wasn't focusing on the aesthetic. It was like, okay, how can I recover from my workout tomorrow so I can get better for that race? And that changed my body too, but it really changed my mind first, because I remember FaceTiming my wife and son, and my buddy flew out and he did it with me. I beat him. Sorry, Lauren. so we're like, wow, this is great. And then my wife's like, wow, this is something that like I think that you'd really just have fun at and that you should do more of these. And I think she saw that and she saw the excitement, you know, in my face and just the sense of accomplishment, because it was 4 miles in California in the rain. Yeah. It rained obviously that day in California, which is strange, like up a mountain most of the time and just like muddy. And when I got done, I was like, wow, sounds brutal.
Yeah.
But you just get this over like consuming rush of endorphins and this sense of accomplishment and camaraderie. Like whether the guy that got last, we all waited for like clap for him versus the people that got for like everybody who's there, like, hey, good job. It doesn't matter what
team effort, like team spirits going around.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like individual effort. But yeah, we all did obviously just come together kind of as a group. So it was really, really neat to see. And I encourage people to sign up for whether it's a Spartan or a race or something that is beyond your comfort zone, marathon, whatever. And you would just feel that sense of accomplishment. And there's so much more that just goes into it in your life or realizing like, wow, I just did that. Okay, this project.
Thinking about, wait, have I got the biggest arms here that's going to help me win? Like, it's very that I need to have the cardiovascular energy to be able to carry me through or the strength to go over the obstacles, which I think you can, over time, a lot of people do get caught up on the look and feel of what fitness, well, the look of what fitness is doing to your body rather than how it's making you feel, which ultimately the endorphins are great, but sometimes it's what's pushing you is what you look like when actually it's a reminder. Something like that can show you what exercise can do for you. And it doesn't have to be about having those big arms, which.
Right. And I mean, yeah, sure. They're great if you want to look good in a picture, but yeah, I mean, you can change your body from not focusing on it. So people start, when they just start sleeping more, your body will change. Your hormones will change. Your cravings will change. Not even if you changed, you specifically tried to go on a specific diet. Like there's just so many aspects of all of these things that we can do outside of what's directly correlated with what people think what diet and exercise is. And your body can really get positive results from that, or you can go down the other road.
So true. Well, that was so interesting. I feel like time has just flown. I have got a question and answer, which people have sent a few questions.
Yeah.
I'll just ask you a few of these. Very much quick fire. Don't worry about them. How often do you work out?
5 to 7 days a week.
5 to 7 days a week.
Yeah.
There's laziness going on here. But
that's from my head now. It's not from my body.
Really?
If I don't work out, if I don't move in a day, I don't feel right. So whether that's go out and get a quick mile or 2 mile run in or do 20 minutes of weights. It's honestly for my head now and not necessarily how I'm going to look because of it.
Okay. And that's not like a full intense, like hardcore workout every single time. It is just sometimes to be able to move.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the hardcore, if you will probably be 4 or 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And then the other days of the week, whether it's, you know, going for the walk or a quick run or doing some stretching or mobility exercises. Yeah. It's almost every day of the week. I just need to move.
Nice. Me too. I need to move as well. I get cabin fever. I'm like, okay, I start talking to the plants, which is a lot behind me. do you take any supplements?
Yeah, I do. But let me preface this. A supplement is to supplement a good diet. So full disclosure, I get a bunch of stuff sent to me for free. So I don't know if I would be taking this much if a lot of it wasn't free. But the main things that I recommend people to take is a good vitamin D supplement if you're not getting enough sun, at least 15 minutes of sun a day unexposed. So put the SPF on after that. Vitamin D, a good omega or fish oil supplement. Maybe a multivitamin, and you know, pretty much, you know, that's it. If you're just going to take those, some amino acids, it could help. Creatine is great, not just for muscle building, but for cognition as well. I do take that, and then I do black coffee generally before a workout, like nothing in it for the most part. But there's a bunch of other supplements that you can take if you get blood work. But for the most part,
what about like protein, whey protein, any of those?
Yeah, sure. I'll take some protein, which, you know, just because I'm trying to hit 4,500 calories a day. So for me to eat that quantity of food or hit my macro numbers, depending on, you know, what I'm trying to achieve athletically or physically, yeah, I will definitely do some protein. And generally, I do plant-based protein, which is a pea or, you know, brown rice protein combination. If I do a whey protein, it's an isolated whey protein, which is pretty much stripped of all the lactose. So anybody who has a lactose problem, that whey protein would probably be okay for you.
Why would you choose plant-based? Is that more for like values around like vegans and stuff, or?
I've been vegan before. I've been plant-based, which plant-based is kind of loosely, you know, a loose definition, basically just the majority of your food coming from plants. So you could still eat animal products if you're plant-based. I've done vegan before. When I was vegan, I started getting the plant-based protein powder and I actually liked that. And there are some studies that point to pea protein actually having a similar bioavailability. So how your body absorbs it, similar to whey protein. Mm-hmm. Some say better, some say about the same, but I like the way it tastes. And I feel good doing it. And there's a lot of things that are, they're adding to that. Maybe it's like, you know, wheatgrass or spirulina or something that are just good additives where it's hard to get those phytonutrients or antioxidants by way of simply eating, you know, the food. So I'll do that every now and then. If I, somebody sends me some whey protein, I'll try it out. But yeah. I kind of have a preference on the plant-based.
Fair enough. How do you reduce muscle DOMS? And for anybody listening, DOMS is the delayed onset of muscle soreness. I feel like everyone always questions what that is.
Well done. So how do you reduce it? Sleep would be number one. Our body recovers and grows when it sleeps. Exercise creates a stimulus and the small, you know, microfiber tears in the body. So sleep is going to be huge. Try to get at least 8 hours a night. If you go 7 to 9-ish of quality sleep, that's number one.
What did you manage to get? Is that, did you manage to get 8 hours sleep when you first had your son? I don't believe that.
first, no, not at all. Absolutely not. And that was, I felt like crap. My workouts were horrible. I just tired. You know, my wife was breastfeeding, so she was up every couple hours, you know. So no, I did not get it. So get it when you can, or if you get some, you know, quick naps in there, sure. Foam rolling is amazing, or some sort of massage is really good. Those percussion guns are very good too. But your nutrition is going to be huge. Making sure you're eating enough calories, carbohydrates will generally help you recover as well. And depending on, you know, what diet you're on, but and then some stretching too, and also movement the next day. So say you did a heavy leg workout. Often I'll go for a light run the next day. Now, I'm not trying to beat any records. I'm not trying to get the fastest mile I've ever gotten, but to get blood flow into that muscle tissue so it heals. Blood flow promotes healing. So you can do that. Also, after your workout, get yourself into a more of a parasympathetic nervous system state faster than sympathetic. Sympathetics are fight or flight. We're running from a tiger. Parasympathetic is rest, digest, right? And breathe in and out of your left nostril for a couple minutes. That will actually stimulate that parasympathetic response and bring your body into a recovery state faster.
Interesting. Although I have tried running with DOMS after a workout, and I tell you, I do not run. I do like this leg movement thing, which I don't think you can call running. They don't work, but I'll keep at it.
You do a slow motion run.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll call it that.
Yeah, but it is hard. So if you did a heavy leg day and you can barely walk up the steps, and you know, maybe you should do like a quick walk or a brisk walk or hike, something like that, or roll your legs out first, then do a little stretching, and then maybe go for a light run. That could help out as well. But if you're completely debilitated, like you might have gone a little too hard for your workout, then I would actually back off your workout. Okay.
Have a you rest don't, day.
Yeah. You don't have to be sore to get benefits from your workout. Newsflash. That'll help.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. Right. That'll help right there. There's some other things like a sauna can help. There's different things like cold showers, contrast showers, 20 seconds cold, 20 seconds cold, 10 seconds warm, back and forth for like 10 rounds.
They're helpful for DOMS.
Yeah. That can help too. Yeah.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, there's all sorts of different research on like ice baths and stuff, if it's good for mTOR response and adding muscle tissue. Mm-hmm. But the constriction and relaxation of your capillaries and your blood flow actually helps with that hot cold, kind of warm to cold will help with that.
Interesting. Yeah. Does it make a difference if I eat breakfast before I work out? Will I lose less weight?
Absolutely not. So here's the thing. If you're talking about some sort of fasting or eating before your workout, it depends, right? Do you feel great during your workout? If you're skipping your breakfast, still do that. Whether it's like a cardiovascular thing, if you're running a far distance, you know, maybe you want to have some simple carbohydrates in before that. Sodium, people should have some sodium before they work out, especially if they're doing something long distance. So you can get some sodium tabs or some salt in your water. That will actually help your workout. You'll probably feel that often more than actually, you know, having some carbohydrates. So maybe around 500 milligrams of sodium before a workout, depending on what you're going to do. You can go ahead and have that. If you want to have something beforehand, if you're trying to add a bunch of muscle tissue, maybe you want to have something before the workout. Maybe it's a protein shake with a banana post-workout. Mm-hmm. Depends on how long your workout was. You can have something right afterwards, depending on if you're trying to hit those macronutrients. But that anabolic window where you need to have something within the first hour, half an hour, whatever study you're looking at. You don't, it's more of kind of like a barn door. Just have it within a couple hours.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a female and you get up and you work out in the morning on an empty stomach, you probably should have something to eat within a couple hours, just because on a hormonal level, your body could have some issues there, especially depending on what time of the month it is. So then I would recommend for a female, if you're working out in the morning, within a couple hours, have breakfast. Doesn't need to be a protein shake. It can be whatever your breakfast normally is, as long as it has, you know, 20 grams or so of protein to help encourage that recovery process.
Cool. Interesting. Good to know. And then finally, if somebody is suffering with mental health, have you got any advice for them on what they should do if they're just feeling very lost right now?
Yeah. One, own being lost. And people say, oh, everybody else is having a hard time right now. But you know what? Like, you're having a hard time. So just be aware of that. And sometimes it feels better to know that other people are in the same situation as you are. But just really completely just be aware and have that. Maybe you need to have a few days where you're sulking and you feel bad. Maybe you need that. Maybe that's good for you. Start journaling, start writing some stuff down, be open with the people around you that you can really trust with your feelings. I think that's the first step. Talk to somebody. And that could be, I mean, the great thing now about, you know, FaceTime and things like that, you can get to a counselor where you don't even see them in person. Mm-hmm. And you don't even know them and you can talk to them and that will really help. So talking about your feelings is going to be huge. Owning it, writing it down, and just being aware of that. And yes, you're not alone, but just start doing some introspective work and seeing how you're feeling. And during certain times of the day, you feel bad. Maybe it's in the morning. Maybe it's after lunch. Maybe it's at night. Okay, start just doing that assessment and writing that down. And then you can know when you talk to a professional, hey, I'm sad all day long, or I'm sad in the evenings, or I'm sad when I'm not busy. Okay, mm-hmm. And you can just start figuring that up. But introspection and talking to the people that you can really trust.
I suppose it's like ultimately don't ignore it. Like if you're not feeling good, speak to somebody, do all the things, which I suppose Joey just said, but don't ignore it. So thank you so much for joining the Mindgasm podcast. And if you guys want to reach out to Joey, I'll be leaving his handle in the bio of this one. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed your Mindgasm. Remember, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure to follow me on Instagram at Jen Bezza to send in any questions and be the first to find out who we have coming up next. Have a great day. Hey, hey.